Guest on our program today, Michaela Kinnett, CEO from the Boone County Hospital. And Michaela, thanks for joining us this month.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
Hey, we just had the board meeting for the month of, month of September, regular board meeting. And I think one of the big things to notice is, and Chris Torres did make the financial information available, have pretty good month, got a lot of things going on.
Yeah, we have had a really, really strong month. We're in a really good financial position for only being 2 months into the fiscal year. And there is a lot going on. We've got a lot of projects happening around here. We're growing some services. So it's been a real busy time.
Anybody that's driven by, yes, the helipad we are going on. And actually, just the other day, they actually had to land over in the parking lot, which we kind of knew that was going to be going on.
Yeah, our helipad renovation project is coming along. I think that, you know, don't want to jinx anything, but I think that it might finish up a week or two early, so that'll be really nice to get that parking area back. There's an area just behind the North Clinic that we're using right now as our temporary helipad, and I think we have actually flown out a few people in the past couple of weeks, and so the helicopter has been here and has used that space, and it's worked out okay. I think that it feels different when it's landing down by people driving by versus when it lands on top of the building up high. So we've seen some, you know, people watching and things like that. But the project has been going really good. The new helipad is going to have heat in it. And so that's going to be something different than we had before. And that will help maintain it for, you know, longer because of using the chemicals that we use for in ice melt and yep. trying to keep it cleared in the winter has been hard on the old helipad that we had, so we're pretty excited about the heating in the new one. And actually, that is the portion of the helipad that just got finished up this week, the heat got put in. So we're excited about it.
Yeah, and that's one of the things, too. Again, you've had some pretty good weather, your contractors have, so they've been able to keep, as long as all the supplies are there, they're able to keep going. And I noticed they've been working a little late some nights as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that at the beginning there was a little bit of rain and there was a slight delay, but they made up for that pretty quickly, and I think they've gotten ahead of schedule now. So, yeah, they just work away every day, and it's looking really, really nice.
And just so listeners, so they know, it's just not putting the helipad on there. We had to take all that off, the old roofing had to be done. You had to put in some drainage, again, because you're going to have melting on there. You're going to have it heated.
Yeah, and we don't want water to sort of pool either on the helipad or near the door that we use to get out there and bring patients back and forth. So there's some grates, like you said, a brand new roof. It's white. It's very interesting. White is supposed to create more energy efficiency. So it's a white roof. We used to have some pavers up there. We do not have anything like that anymore, which I'm grateful for because they break and they come loose, and we don't want that happening up there. So it is a big project. I think it costs somewhere around $1.2 to $1.3 million to replace the helipad.
And it was a little little less than what your original estimates were.
Yeah, our original estimates were around 1.6, and so we were pretty happy when the bids came in a bit lower than that, so that allows us to do other capital projects with those funds.
I know most people are going, you had the MRI trailer out there, and as soon as it pulled out, we started putting up the safety rails so they could go up and work on the roof. So.
Yeah, and I think that as soon as this project, actually, maybe even before this project finishes up, we'll be doing some renovation of the parking lot here at the hospital, and so we just have kind of ongoing projects that we're trying to finish up before winter, you know, before the snow falls. So I think that we're going to see some commotion in the parking areas and even more limited parking than we have today with the helipad's, temporary location in a few weeks here. Right now we're currently replacing the South Clinic parking lot. Yeah. And then as soon as that project is done, we'll work on the hospital parking lot.
As we know, it's inconvenient while it's going on, but it'll be nice when it's done.
Exactly.
So that's one of the things that the board got a presentation on. Chris Torres did make a little bit of a presentation. Do we pay for this right now with every, cover the whole cost, or do we do a little loan lease on it, so to speak, working with a bank on it, and then pay some interest on payments? And in the long run, you basically come out ahead by doing some payments on it.
Yeah, we decided to go ahead and do some financing on it, and they do call them capital leases, which is interesting. I think it's a little bit of new terminology, but sure. Basically we did end up financing them because we, you know, it would cost us more to use our cash and take it out of our bank accounts where we're actually making some pretty good interest. And so we ended up deciding to go ahead and finance the helipad and the parking lot projects. And then we also, I don't know if
you got an HVAC.
In the last month or two, we approved some HVAC upgrades. And so we also decided to go ahead and do some leasing on that equipment as well. And so I think that's just going to make really good sense for us. We're trying to grow our cash so that we can, you know, eventually work on a facility master plan and having some type of project happen. And so, you know, really trying to examine every decision we make and make sure that we're making the best one financially for the hospital. So that's why we decided to go ahead and do a leasing for these.
One thing I noticed in, again, people that may not follow along closely and stuff like that, but you do, and Angie did the presentation this time, your organizational goals. I call them basically your management plan going forward. And you've got goals set out to meet. You got some where you're doing pretty well. You took a look at how the last year wrapped up. You have that information there. And bottom line is there are areas where you're still working to make improvements. You had some where you did exceptionally well in the last year. And then you have others where we are making some progress, but we still have a ways to go.
Yeah, we do have a set of organizational goals. We base them on what we call our organizational pillars. We have six pillars, and they kind of, you know, span across finance, people, growth, quality, service, and then community. And so we look at those each year, and we set goals under them. Last year, we had one goal under each pillar. And like you said, we blew some of those out of the water. Some we didn't quite achieve what we wanted to, but that's why they're goals, right? Because we're trying to achieve those outcomes that we think are best practices or we think are industry standards, that kind of a thing. And so this year we did maintain those same pillars, and then we have, and some under some of the pillars this year, we decided to add an additional goal. So, you know, for instance, under our service pillar, we still want to keep our wood recommend score, you know, pretty high. I think we have that set at 90%. And then we added a goal to, you know, increase the patient portal usage by about 10%. So we think that patients are getting better service. They're more satisfied. They have their own access to their stuff if they use the portal. So just for an example, that's one of them. So we are working really hard on trying to meet our goals. And like you said, there are some things that, you know, we continue to work on. Days cash on hand was a goal. We changed our finance goal this year. Last year, it was a positive bottom line. We budgeted for a positive bottom line this year and knew that that would probably occur. So that obviously isn't a good goal. So we set our goal based on days cash on hand to see if we could get to the industry standard of 120 days cash on hand. And I think we are trending in the right direction for that one. So it's a lot of work, and you know, it's fun. It keeps us going.
You had it about 9 days in the last month, so that was pretty good.
We did. Yeah, it's been really good.
Month of August was good for you. So.
Yeah, very good.
So, you're getting up. And again, that's one of those things where, yeah, it's a great goal, and we like to get there. One of the things I did want to ask you a little bit about, because this has been a trend that we've seen over the last couple of years, even before you came in as a CEO, and Sandra talked a little bit about it. 340B, which is a program that the federal government came up with large pharmacy companies. We've seen large pharmacy companies starting to make their own changes in it. How's that?
Yeah, 340B is, like you said, it's a program, and critical access hospitals can participate in the program. And what we do is not only do we get a discount on meds, but we contract then with other pharmacies and help them get those discounts so that patients have access to those medications. And you know, it really has meant a financial benefit for us and for other critical access hospitals. But over the last few years, the manufacturers have decided to exclude certain medications from the 340B program. They got some pushback for that, and so then they allowed us to choose one pharmacy where the exclusions wouldn't apply, designate one pharmacy. So we went with Hy-Vee because we have the most volume through Hy-Vee. So what we're seeing now is the pharmacies that we stayed contracted with that aren't in the exclusion, so all the pharmacies outside of Hy-Vee that we stayed contracted with have started to really see where those manufacturers are continuing to add more and more and more to that exclusion list. And so the 340B program is not as beneficial as it used to be.
Yeah. It's one of those where, and again, it's everybody, it's large pharma against everybody, I guess.
No. It really is. And, you know, Johnson & Johnson, this right now, it looks like is proposing a rebate program instead of the 340B program. And that doesn't affect us quite yet, but it's affecting some of the, what they call a DSH hospital, yeah. Which it stands for disproportionate share hospital. And so eventually what we've seen is that starts at some of the bigger places and then trickles down to us. So we assume that will come in the future. And so it's been a real struggle for this program and for hospitals to really, like you said, you know, fight off big pharma. I think there's been a lot of court lawsuits about this. Yeah. There's been a lot of legislative work on it, but we're just not really gaining traction. And so unfortunately that program has been really affected, and it affects our revenue a lot. So,
Well, I do know that we've got a lot of other great things that have been going on. Let's talk a little bit about this in particular. The one I found interesting is in your OB. Now, right now, the goal or the thought for this year is you're going to be a little bit less than you were. You were over 100, almost 110, 113, I think, last year, births at the hospital. Mm-hmm. Right now, looking at around 80, but that's subject to change. And you have some interesting things, like you have doulas showing up, and you're going to have a midwife.
Yep, we do. You're absolutely right. Last year, we delivered 113 babies, and this year through April, we're on track to deliver around 80. So I don't know what, May and June will show. We may see some things crop up here between now and the very end of the fiscal year. So I'm hoping that number is a bit higher. I would like us to be closer to 100, but we'll really keep working on that. We do a lot of marketing. We have Ladies Night Out coming up, all sorts of things to try to, make folks aware of our services and all the things that we have to offer. But we have had some exciting things happen recently where we've had some patients coming up from Des Moines and bringing a doula with them. And so those doulas have been marketing our hospital in the Des Moines area to their patients. And so that's been very nice to see that feedback, and we are working on adding a certified nurse midwife to our group of physicians that do OB care, and I think that will be really nice. That's a service that a lot of people want, and so we don't have that right now, and so we're pretty excited about being able to add that. Hopefully we get a contract with her here in October, and so then we'll be able to announce who it is, and we're just really excited to keep growing that service.
It's one of those where as especially younger, I'm guessing younger mothers coming in, some of them are going a little more, I'll call it traditional.
Yeah, we are seeing that. We also are seeing some, we get quite a few patients. I think in the last couple of months, we've had 3 or 4 patients who tried to do home birth and then ended up coming here. And that's good. We want to be a place where people feel comfortable to come, and they, we support their decisions, and we just try to help them through whatever spot they're in when they get here. So I think we are seeing some of that traditional type of care happening. And our providers are really great. We have kind of a different mindset, I think, than some of the other bigger hospitals. And I think we're very open to supporting folks in whatever model of whatever their birth model is, and so we want to help them out with that.
Well, we do have, Dr. Hernandez is now pretty much set up, ready to go, and we might see some more over from the west side of the county, too, showing up.
Yeah, she's been in Ogden for about 8 or 9 days now. She spent her first couple of weeks orientating here at the North Clinic so she could see how the prenatal and the OB stuff was working, and so she's over there now, and it's going really good. I think that clinic has struggled a little bit since Dr. Chance left with us having, consistent coverage there and things. So she's been very welcomed by the community. She's already been establishing care with patients. And so I think it's going great. She's very friendly. If anybody has met her, or I encourage you to meet her, she's very personable and a really friendly person. And so I think that she's going to be a great addition. And, we do have that prenatal care now over in Ogden, and we haven't had that for many years. So I'm excited to see how that goes.
Well, you can see why both her and Dr. Gordon were together working in their residency. So both of them, kind of that same presentation, both very friendly, both very well received.
Yeah, absolutely. They're both great people. And I think Dr. Gordon has been really successful with getting his practice established. I think he's well over 130 patients now that have established with him in just the short time that he's been here, I think maybe about 5 to 6 weeks at this point. So he's really great. He's a great addition. And they do know each other. And so that's been kind of fun for them to get to start their journeys together.
Well, some of the other things, some of the what we call wins, because I know you always like to take a look at those. Wound Clinic got a lot of satisfaction from patients on their surveys. So that was good news.
Yeah, that was good news. And they had their celebration for their 10-year anniversary. So interesting that the Wound Clinic here has been open for that long. I think it's kind of gone by quick for those that have been involved. They did get, like you mentioned, they got some recognition for patient satisfaction and clinical excellence. I think they have gotten recognized for that before, so maintaining that is amazing. And so there's just been a lot of really good stuff going on. I continue to get patient comments, you know, especially in reference to Wound Clinic, Senior Life Solutions, emergency department right now, inpatient. So we've just been getting a lot of recognition from patients, and that's something that I really am grateful for, and I make sure to share that with the teams that are involved in that care, because it really means a lot to our staff to hear those things back when things go really good.
And I know one of the other things you had been working on, we've had a transition in orthopedics, and we've already had a number of surgeries that have been done here, a number of joint replacements and things like, and that looks like that's just going to keep going.
Yeah, August was a little bit slower month for that as far as clinic visits, because both Dr. Peterson and Dr. Doerman had some vacation time in August. And so now that they've been back in September, we have quite a few surgeries on the schedule coming up. And so we're really excited to see that continue to grow. They really got kind of going in June. And so I'm thinking over the next 6 to 9 months, we're really going to see that service start booming. So I'm excited for that. And of course, our hand specialist is still here, Dr. Paulson, and he is very busy all the time. He's had a great, really strong practice going, so the ortho is going good.
It's one of those where I think for Dr. Peterson, Dr. Doerman, it's a referral, but for Dr. Paulson, it's not. People can come in. And I know Dr. Erickson, who, by the way, is doing some wound stuff too, has been continuing to see increased traffic in his office and service. So.
Yep, he's been very busy as well, and he is our medical director of our wound clinic now that Dr. Teal has retired, and so he's a busy guy, and he's really involved in some very successful areas of the organization.
Well, we do have, before I run out of time, I know there's a couple of things I wanted to point out. Let's talk a little bit about some of the things that are coming up, because you have a number of them over the next, throughout the month of October. There's several big things that are coming up here. Senior Fair, that's a big one.
Yeah, the Senior Resource Fair is coming up on October 9th, I believe.
I think it is, yes.
From 9 to 2 at the Boone Fairgrounds in the community room. So that's going to be, there's a lot of vendors that are going to be there, and there's going to be a lot of different resources available for folks. And I think that was an event that was happening prior to COVID and hasn't happened since, and so we're excited to be bringing that back. And
a little bit of a break in there, yeah.
Yeah, I'm working with some community partners on that, so
that's good.
And then Ladies Night Out is coming up, like I mentioned earlier. That's going to be October 17th from 5 to 7 p.m. in our atrium here at the hospital. We have a lot of our departments that are signed up to come participate and get some information out to people that stop in. It's going to be a fun event. All of our providers will be there who provide women's health services. We'll get to meet Dr. Holmes and Dr. Hernandez, so they'll both be there. I think it's going to be a really good event. There's going to be charcuterie. There's going to be prizes. It's going to be really nice.
Okay. And I know out at Adult Day, which kind of falls into the public health or and the public health area, they've kind of overseen it, but Beckwith Adult Day, 20 years it's been.
Yes, they've been open for 20 years. They're having an anniversary, an open house on October 30th from 1 to 3 at the Adult Day Center. So I think they're really excited about that and getting prepared for it. It's an interesting service. I just I run a book club with all of our staff, and I had their director, Jennifer, was in our book club, and she was talking about how they've grown a bit recently, and sometimes, you know, it's just someone needs some care for a day so that their caregiver can go get groceries and get their hair taken care of, or, you know, just run some errands. And sometimes people go there every day. And so just trying to make sure that people know that service is available as well is really important.
Yeah, they can always check. All they got to do is stop out there or call Jennifer, because she loves to tell them about it. So,
yeah, yep, and she'll give them a tour and show them what it's all about. And it's a really nice service, and we're lucky to have it in our community.
I know, among other things, we have a shared, you know, I had to explain this to a couple of people before. They said, why do we have two ambulance services? I said, we have one. We just have the hospital running two ambulances or two crews, and then the fire department is the follow-up third crew when needed. And judging by the number of calls, we're starting to see more need all the time.
Yeah, it's constantly growing. I think the times when we're having to rely on the third crew through the city has increased quite a bit over the past couple of years. And I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, some of our rigs are out making longer transports and mm-hmm. doing things like that. So then they're out of the county. And so then we're relying on that third crew to help us out. And so we have been meeting with the city on what our agreement with them looks like. And I think we all think that the partnership is one that's very positive. We're really happy to be partnered with them and to have their support. And so I think we're looking at, increasing their contract. And they did a lot of work on what they thought the cost should be based on volumes and wages and things that they have to pay their folks and how much time they're spending on third crew for us. So I really do value that partnership, and I think that they do as well. And so I'm excited to see where that goes in the future, and happy to be partnering with them.
And we also have, I know, some other things you've been working on, some exercises for disaster and for active shooter things, all of those. Your staff is constantly in training.
Yeah, we are constantly in training, and I think that safety is really important right now, and it's always important, of course, but I think right now it's kind of, you know, we're looking at all the things that are happening out there in the world, and we want to make sure that our staff are as prepared as they can be if something, you know, should happen like that, which of course we would never want to happen, but we do want to make sure that they're prepared, and so we're doing a lot of stuff. You know, we had the Department of Homeland Security here. We worked really hard on doing the walkthrough with them and trying to address some of the things that they gave us in their report. And we're still doing some of those things, working on making sure that everyone has training for active shooter and de-escalation training just for folks that are upset and some of those things, making sure our building is secure, always constantly working on safety, always.
Well, before I let you go, again, a couple of reminders here. Senior Resource Fair, I think Boone County Fairgrounds on the 9th, and that'll be like 9 to 2. Seniors plan to go out there and pay a visit. A ladies' night out coming up at the Women's Health Services. That's going to be in the hospital lobby. That'll be on the 17th, 5 to 7 in the evening. And again, stop and visit and see the folks because you have some new practitioners that would love to meet people and talk about the services that they can offer.
So. We absolutely would love to see everyone.
Alrighty. Thanks, Michaela, for visiting with us. Look forward to visiting with you next month.
Thank you, Jim.